This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Pink slips seem to be raining down in just about every sector and every zip code. But are there any bright spots out there? The temporary job market may provide an answer. We're joined now by Steve Drexel. He is a labor economist and a 23-year veteran of the staffing industry. He's also a member of the Business Research Advisory Council of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Steve, welcome to News and Notes.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
You've been following temporary staffing trends for more than two decades now. What sectors are relatively insulated from layoffs?
Well, the sectors that are most resilient are the higher skill sectors, or if you can get into industries that are involved in education or healthcare or government, those are the areas where you get the most bang. We're also seeing a nice increase in the mortgage processing area, because one of the things the government's doing is lowering the conforming rate for mortgages, and so there's kind of a rush to refinance.
When you say higher skills, are you talking about engineering, things of that sort?
Well, even within, say, clerical admin, there's always demand for good, you know, personal assistance. There's always demand for engineers or, you know, highly skilled folks. There's sometimes fewer jobs in those areas, but for good people, you can get employed.
Now, geographically, where are the hot spots for temporary work?
We're seeing the best demand really around the D.C. area, you know, Maryland, Virginia, the District of Columbia. Of course, the government's kind of gearing up, and there's lots of activity to, you know, take on some of these new projects. Another good area is Texas. Texas still has some residual goodwill related to energy and utilities. Beyond that, there's most every area of the country is feeling some pinch. Some of the toughest places are California, Nevada, and Florida.
Let's talk about terms for a moment. When we say temporary work, are we talking about an hourly employee who's coming in, say, 4 hours a week, or somebody working 20 hours a week or 4 hours a day, or are we talking about somebody that may sign on for a project that lasts a month, 2 months, 6 months?
Well, most temporary assignments are for, you know, full days at a time or full weeks at a time. So when you're working a temporary assignment, it's generally 8 hours, but it may only be a 2 or 3 day assignment, or there are some folks that work very long term. But generally, it's a 4 to 6 week assignment.
Now, when you take these kinds of jobs, they generally don't come with any of the benefits, health, otherwise, vacation, sick time, et cetera, that are associated with full-time permanent employment. Is that right?
Well, temporary workers often have the opportunity to participate in health care plans, but for the most part, because they're short-term assignments, maybe only 2 to 12% participate. You generally do get health care opportunities, you get vacation, you get holiday, but those might depend on the length of service or the number of hours that you log.
President Obama signed an executive order on Friday strengthening organized labor. How does this impact temporary workers in particular where unions are involved in the job workplace?
Well, temporary employment companies work side by side with and in unionized establishments. So there's generally work rules or understandings that the employing company will, you know, will enforce or will obligate the temporary company to participate in. Temporary assignments, though, we don't cross picket lines generally, and we don't refill positions first when union workers go on strike. So there's a coexistence there. And so far, there hasn't been a lot of unionization of the temporary employment workforce, but some of the legislation that's pending may make that more of an issue.
Now, another component to the unemployment situation is something called shadow layoffs. Government numbers show that in 2006, independent contractors and self-employed workers made up a third of the workforce. But these folks don't show up in the official pink slip tallies. How are they being affected by cutbacks?
Well, You're right. The in the temporary workforce, for example, which is only something between 2 and 3 million of the employment, so that's a smaller portion. But temporary worker employment's down about 20%. When you look at total employment, it's down about 2%. So one of the things that temporary workers or contract workers or self-employed workers offer employers is flexibility. So when there's a slowdown, when there's less project work, when there's less money available for financing, new projects, mergers and acquisitions, those kinds of things, the flexible workers generally take a harder hit than usual. And there's plenty of evidence to support that. You know, one measure of unemployment, which is called U6, which includes people that are underemployed or are working temporary or part-time because they can't find other work, that's up to like 13.5%. And we see that the average work week at 33.3 hours is at a historic low. So you're right, there's no question the flexible workers are taking it harder.
We haven't talked about pay, and in the few moments that we have left, let's talk about that. In terms of the temporary workforce, is the pay on par with those who are working permanently? Is it below? Is it in some cases higher?
Well, to the extent that people are coming into entry-level jobs, it might be lower than the average wage for that skill classification. But often, because they're working part-time and with less certainty or with less access to the company benefits, sometimes there's a bit of a premium for working temporary or contract, and that's kind of the trade-off for some of the security or some of the access to you know, the benefits that you might get in a more permanent situation.
Let me squeeze one more question in here really quickly. The ratio of temporary workers to permanent workers, what is it, and is it changing?
Well, temporary workers are about 1.2% of the work, or 1.5% of the workforce. It's been as high as almost 2%. So that reflects the you know, a bigger decline in temporary workers than permanent workers. But as you suggested, if you include, you know, all the contract workers and the self-employed folks, you get up to more like a third, and that's dramatically up in the cycle. If you go back to say 2001, last time we had a recession, it's growing, and it's pretty dramatic.
Steve, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Steve Drexel is a labor economist and a 23-year veteran of the staffing industry. He is a member of the Business Research Advisory Council of the Bureau of Labor Statistics.